Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by the Golf Den. Come check out the Callaway and Cobra Golf Performance Centers, where they offer great winter lesson packages and golf club custom fittings, Sherwood Park or the West End. Go to golfden.ca. Ryan Rashog from TSN. Join the Shogger. How you doing?
Doing well today, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Lots to discuss. First of all, I was online earlier this morning, and all sorts of people assuming that, oh, there's a big announcement today because the orders didn't have any availability, they didn't have any practice. I did some digging and found out I didn't get a sense there was going to be anything happening, you know, right away. Now, of course, I don't expect everybody to always tell the 100% truth. What are you hearing? Do you think there's a major move coming before the next game?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
On a major move. I mean, I'll lay it out for you. What I think probably is going on right now is I think there's probably sort of a lot of internal questioning going on, and you know, the organization is probably trying to figure out what its next move should be. And I think that I don't think that this is viewed as something that can be a quick fix, so I think they're just, you know, they're probably meeting trying to figure out what the next move is supposed to be. And I've maintained all along that I believe Craig McTavish has the back of Dallas Aikens in all of this. I don't think he feels like he needs to fire his coach. But if another message comes down from the mountain, then you never know. But I think at this point, they're probably in the process of trying to work all that out and do a little bit of a, you know, Dregs tweeted a little bit about it this morning, Spec did too. I think there's probably a little bit of some internal stuff happening right now. And I think if it comes down from above, then it could potentially happen. But I think if it's up to McTavish, Dallas Aikens doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's, you know, they obviously, there's a need for a culture change. I don't think there's any arguing on that. How do you, a lot of people say you got to blow up everything. And there's some validity to that. Others will say, well, maybe you don't. How do you think's the best way to go about changing the culture of the team?
Well, and I guess it just depends on what you mean when you're talking about the culture. Like, it means so many different things. It can mean so many different aspects. I mean, the simple fact is winning something will immediately change the culture. So if the Oilers had gone on a run of 15 wins in 20 games to start the year, the culture's changed. It's different because you're winning. The losing, it's what creates the bad culture is the losing. So, I mean, I think it's just about icing a better team and winning games, and then the culture changes. I think that there's a number of problems organizationally that they have that are preventing them from being able to take the next step. They've got some really good pieces. That doesn't just go away. But these good pieces have been on a losing team for so long that the bad habits and that losing mentality are going to take hold. So bringing players in from other organizations that maybe have some experience. I mean, maybe that's what it is. Instead of just trying to rely solely on these guys that have been buried for the last 4 or 5 years here in losing season after losing season. So, I mean, winning will change the culture before they have to, you know, it's more about getting to the bottom of why they're not winning hockey games on ice. Question about culture is kind of, you got to win some games.
Yeah, I know, but you need a good culture to win games, right? There's so many coaches that will tell you, you don't have a good culture, you're not winning. And so, the team isn't good enough. They don't have, I think, enough of, you know, things necessary to win games. So you can't just say, well, hey, if we were winning, we'd have a different culture. I don't think this team's built to win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think there's a number of things wrong with the organization, right? For sure. I think at the core of what's wrong with this team is their procurement of talent is a major issue. And you do that through the NHL entry draft. You look at the good organizations and what they're able to do through the draft and helping their team down the road, and it just makes a world of difference. I mean, the Oilers drafting has been, it's been abysmal outside the first round, really, for a long time. I mean, I looked at it back to 2007 today, and it's just, there's just nothing there. I mean, there's nothing there. There's no fines. There's nobody on their roster right now. There's nothing there. And you look at some of the other good organizations, like I did just a quick little look at guys that other teams have been able to find past the first round. It's crazy. Like the Los Angeles Kings So they have Toffoli a second, Clifford a second, Nolan a seventh, Voinoff a second, Lakhtionov a fifth, Simmons was a second rounder, Alec Martinez, fourth rounder, Dwight King, fourth rounder. These are guys who contribute immensely to their organization, or did at a particular point in time. You know, Chicago Blackhawks, Brandon Saad a second in 2011, Shaw a fifth in 2011, Kruger, who was on their team for a time, fifth round pick, Ben Smith, a sixth round pick, Nicholas Hjalmarsson in 05 is a fourth round pick. I mean, these scouts go out and find guys, and they don't hit with every guy, but they find guys that give your organization the exact culture you're talking about. They're guys who are born in the organization and who wear those colors and create that culture. And the Oilers don't have that. They bring it in from elsewhere unless it's a high first-round pick. I mean, even Montreal, the guts of that team, Brendan Gallagher's a fifth-round draft pick. P.K. Subban, a second-round draft pick. Like, I mean the Anaheim Ducks, Devontae Smith-Pelly is a second-round pick. You know, Frederick Anderson is a third-round pick. These are usable players that they find who contribute to their organization. And the Oilers don't find those players.
No, well, and, you know, like last night on the broadcast, I was amazed. They're like, the 2010 to 2014 second-round, third-rounders, like, that's not the problem. The problem is from 2003 to 2009, they don't have any, right? Like, the Oilers don't need more youth on the youngest team, in one of the youngest teams in the league, to think, hey, wow, we really need more young guys to come in Edmonton and help that team win. They already have all their first-rounders in the lineup. You can't have all your first-rounders and all your seconds. They needed those guys that were drafted. You know, they got Jeff Petrie. And that's it. They missed on so many other ones. You know, they traded Brodziak for absolutely nothing, right? Who was a really good. You look at Tal Brodziak, that's a hell of a pick in the seventh round, and they gave it away for nothing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Matt Green, Jarrett Stoll, a couple of second round picks that are no longer with the organization. I mean, there are very usable players that were available to this team. I mean, you go back to the 2010 NHL draft, the second round, the Oilers picked Pitlick at 31, Marinchin at 46, and Hamilton at 48. Justin Falk, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Tyler Toffoli, Cali Yarncroc, he's playing really well. Jason Zucker, these are all usable NHL players. Those were all players who were taken in that second round. The Oilers had three cracks at it. You know, so, you can look back a ways, but there's some recent history that stings, too. I mean, Thomas Tatar was there in 09. Robin Lehner was there.
I'll be honest. I think it's cherry picking to look and say, hey, they could have got all the best guys, and then your scouting staff, because every other team, Boston, Florida, Columbus, Chicago, who's a great team, they all missed out in the second round, and none of their guys are even playing, right?
If it paints a picture over a 4, 5, 6, 7 year period, if it paints a consistent picture, it's completely fair game. Right, they don't get a pass. I mean, they haven't picked any decent players in that position. Like it's been disastrous for them. So it's completely fair game to say there were good players available, and this is who they were. It's not like I'm picking guys who are marginally better than what they've got. David Musil?
Yeah, that's a terrible pick. I agree. That was the one pick right at the time. I said a big prodding defenseman was a terrible pick.
Is he ever going to play in the league? Do we know that?
Yeah, I say 100%.
Boone,
you don't.
Jenner, Brandon Saad, Matt Nieto, Kucherov, Thomas Yurko. These are all guys that were sitting there. So if the pattern is year after year after year, time after time, there are good players there and they never find one, then I'm sorry, it's not cherry-picking. It's showing they have the opportunity and there is talent there and they aren't finding it.
I'll ask you this question.
That's not cherry-picking.
Do you think Devontae Smith-Pelly or Tyler Toffoli, if they are in Edmonton, are the same player that they are in Anaheim or L.A.?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. I mean, once you're in an organization, there's a whole bunch of development that has to happen from there.
Yeah.
And that's a totally fair question. So by that same extension, if you're Tyler Pitlick and you're in Los Angeles' organization, where's he right now? Right? And that's the same question, really. And there's no way to answer that. We can speculate, we can guess. So are they picking, are the scouts finding decent players and are they being ruined? You know, was Tyler Pitlick ruined in his first year of pro with injuries and not being played enough?
How about not? How about not being in junior for another year? And that's where, to me, it's. I look at the drafting. Sure, to me, the development of guys when you go to certain organizations and players, like in Detroit, they have such a great development system. Guys are 22; they've been in the minors for 3 years, and they are chomping at the bit. Meanwhile, in Edmonton, guys are just, oh, here you go. Oh, you know what? Rather than send you for junior for one more year, we'll put you in the minors and not play you, ruin your confidence, get you beat up because you're not physically ready. Those, I find the development, and I would think that is a valid criticism to me. When none of your middle tier guys are panning out, I think it's more because your development is totally wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would suggest that it's a combination of both, because somewhere along the way, there's got to be a player available who, it doesn't matter what you do with him, but he's going to be a quality player who's going to develop. I mean, there's just nobody from the Oilers. Like, there's nobody. This isn't about, well, they had, you know, they didn't have that many picks, and so the chances, and then they ruined the ones by bringing up, like, they've had lots of draft picks, and other organizations have had lots of draft picks too, and the Oilers don't find them. They don't find usable players past the first round of the draft. They just don't, and other organizations do. So I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination of not making the right picks, and then maybe not giving some of the picks they do make the best opportunity to succeed. And that's why it needs to be top to bottom, a real serious long look at the entire organization and the entire system, from Kevin all the way down through Rick Carrier, through the developmental staff, to Craig McTavish, the coach. Everything needs to be looked at, because something is fundamentally significantly broken here. But the draft record, and when you look at the way other teams have these players, is the absolute blood life of their team, lifeblood of their team, outside of the, you know, the number ones or the number fives or the, like, you're talking second, third, fourth rounders, guys that get found who are on entry level deals and come along and develop, and they play for cheap and they develop in your system, and they're the culture. Well, there's just none of that in Edmonton. None.
Definitely, you know, long ways to go to turn things around for the Edmonton Oilers. Actually thought they played an okay game last night, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't win right now for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, they'll want to take small victories out of a game like that, fine. I mean, they have to do that in the dressing room. They can't be hanging their heads and just getting beat up after all these losses. So they'll take small victories out of last night. To me, I think they played better for stretches. You know, I thought they got their show run physically a little bit. There was some pushback. And Winnipeg's a team that can do that. So there was some pushback from the Oilers. You know, good on them. But again, doesn't matter how well you play, because if you're going to make the five-star mistake over and over, you're going to be behind the eight ball a lot. And to me, I mean, the David Perron's mistake on the first goal, Justin Schultz's mistake on the winner, and that, those are the two monstrosity of mistakes that just blow a hole in each foot again and get stuffed with another loss. You know, like, for Schultz to make that play in the corner at that point in the game, it's pretty staggering. You probably ask the question what the heck he was doing out there.
That's what I said. It's exactly what I said.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think that's totally fair. And I'm sure if Dallas had a do-over, he'd have thrown number five out there instead. But
thank you.
you can't baby these guys forever. I mean, at some point, like, Justin Schultz needs to be able to play 4-on-4 for this team. I mean, he skates as fast as most of them and can move the play. That's what he's there for. He needs to be able to do that. So, I mean, for Dallas to just, you know, well, you can't trust him because he might make that big mistake. But, I mean, that was terrible in the quarter. That's just, I mean, that's staggering how bad that mistake was.
Won't get an argument for me, Shogger. We will chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, buddy. You too.